Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking techs, electric smokers, feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that nice introduction, and it is campfire talk time with our buddy Larry Weissoon. Larry is just back from England. Been over there hunting some kind of deer with tusk or something. He's going to tell us all about it. Larry, thank you for being with us, buddy.
Luke, absolutely a pleasure being back home, and really need to thank DSC, Conservation Education Hunter Advocacy, and about a year ago, John Landgraf and I were at the DSC convention, and we talked about where we wanted to go hunting this year. And John mentioned, let's go to England for muntjac and Chinese water deer. And so I'll tell a little bit more about that, but we also need to say thank you to Hornady. Got to hunt with Hornady ammo, of course, when we were in England, because they're everywhere. And you know, it's deadly, dependable, and all accurate, and all those other great things. And I didn't have a chance to take any of my Taurus handguns over because of it's not a very good idea to take handguns into England, and it's really a little bit on the difficult side to bring your own gun. So ended up having to use a different scope than the Stealth Vision that I normally use, but did get a chance to take my Stealth Vision binoculars there, and of course that made a lot of difference. Hunting those little things, and they are little, because I've got to hunt both the muntjac and the Chinese water deer. And both of them are kind of from the China area into the mountains, into the lowlands, and they were introduced into England back in about, oh my God, the early 1900s by the Duke of Bedford, and it had a little zoo on his property, and I think eventually they were released from there, or maybe even escaped from there. But they're really interesting animals, both of them. The little muntjac, though, stands about 20 inches tall or so, and you know, weighed maybe 30 pounds at the very most. The bucks have antlers on top of real high pedicles, and also have upper canine teeth that look like fang. They're actually sometimes called the vampire deer. And the Chinese water deer is a totally different animal in the fact that it's a deer that does not have any antlers at all, and the males have those same kind of upper canines, elongated, call them tusks, that are about, you know, a good one would be a little bit over 2 inches long, but and they too weigh about 30 pounds or so, and stand about, you know, maybe a little over, right, maybe 2 feet tall at the very most. Interesting animals, hunted them totally different in different areas, and you know, just so much fun, and actually both of them were a really good to eat as well too.
I've read a little bit about them. I know just the basics, you know, but it seems like, are they like lowland deer? I mean, are they, I won't say swampy areas, but are they habitate, you know, up in the highlands? Do they prefer a certain type of habitat?
The muntjac really kind of prefers the thicker brush. They're actually fun to hunt, hard to see.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing about them is a lot of times they're kind of considered a living fossil, because the first fossil records on those go back to about 35 million years ago. So they have been around, you know, for a very, very long time. And occasionally they're called barking deer as well, too. You can hear them. I don't know if anybody, you know, people around the country, and I know in some people in the eastern part of our state and elsewhere, you've heard foxes bark.
I have.
A gruff. Well, they make a sound very similar to that when they bark. And, you know, that's kind of a giveaway. We hunted them. You're big into using thermals with some of the optics that you use, mm-hmm. For hog hunting. And we use thermals kind of slipping along very quietly. Man, you'd walk about 300 yards in about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and just take a few steps and then wait. A few steps and wait. Those little things, those little muntjacs, they don't stand still very long. So you have to be quick on the shot, and as it was, of course, I was shooting off of sticks, and I was using a barred rifle with I shot one with a Blauser, and then the other one with the Mauser. And of course, there's a match to Horny ammo, and shots on those are pretty darn close. We did sit in some deer, what we would call deer blinds, for looking for the muntjac, and both on the edge of fields and then back in the, you know, in the brush as well too. Now the little Chinese water deer, they do like wet spots, and they like to hang out along the edges of the streams and little ponds and that kind of stuff. But we also hunted them in agricultural fields. What's interesting about them, as opposed to the little muntjac generally has a single fawn. It can have twins, but what I found out about the Chinese water deer, they actually have litters. They can have as many as eight fawns at one time.
Is that right?
So they both of them are kind of like the odd-ass sheep is. They'll breed back within days of having had little ones. So there's a tremendous number of those, and particularly like within the muntjac in those forested areas, as opposed to most deer that are either, you know, most time they're browsers, you know, and they'll eat a little grass here and there. Those muntjac are actually omnivores, and that means not only are they eating vegetation, if they can catch a bird, they'll eat a bird. If it's a little mammal, they'll eat a little mammal. They'll eat earthworms a lot. And so it's one of those things to where when they overpopulate, they create a big problem for everything that's there. So that's one of the reasons that we get to hunt them in England, because they are considered a problem. And then the little Chinese water deer, they eat a tremendous amount of planted agriculture crops. So, you know, we get to hunt those there as well too.
You know, I just thought of something kind of interesting about, as a rule, you know, exotics don't do well. The Asian carp is a good idea, you know, a good case in point. You know, they're just, overall, it's not a good idea. But could you imagine, this is kind of a comical thought, but import some of those into Texas, into a high fence ranch, and let a few of them escape and start multiplying, and then we would have another exotic to try to eliminate. Or
well, and interestingly, you know, there are some scattered around in Texas, but thankfully not in enough numbers. There's some of the exotic places, but I can only imagine what would happen if they got into the eastern part of the state, southeastern U.S. and the edges of it. Yeah, they get not real big, but because their reproductive rate is really high.
Yeah.
But, well, anyway, absolutely fantastic hunt.
I bet.
Hunted with John Landgrath and I from Midland. John's from Midland, Odessa area, and I try to hunt together each year. And John and I went over, and we hunted with Scandinavian pro hunters, which is Stefan and Sophia Bengston, who I've hunted in Europe with numerous times, and who are great supporters of DSC and the DSC Foundation. So had just an absolutely fantastic time, and I will have pictures that I can show people when we get together here in about, 2 weeks?
That's right. It's a good time for us to mention in Greenville, Texas, folks, which is about an hour east of Dallas, right on Interstate 30, heading east out of Dallas, is the 7th annual outdoor rendezvous that we've been having. This will be our 7th year. And Larry's there every year with me, and Jeff Rice, that's a producer, our great friend, that does the TV show, A Sportsman's Life. Jeff is there. He usually films the happenings. Bill Carey, Striper Express. I'll tell you something interesting this year, Larry. Of course, there'll be chuck wagons there. There's live music. We're going to fry some blue catfish. It's going to all be good. You know, our friend Ken Blackstock, that was in the electric hunting buggy business for years. Ken has kind of branched off, and he rebuilds some of these easy goes. But he's going to have one of those out there to show people. I've used those things, those electric hunting buggies up in the mountains of Colorado. We used to use those when we elk and bear hunted on the guided trips. But, yeah, he'll be there and show. A lot of people don't have any clue on how powerful these current lithium battery buggies are. But, if you know, that kind of stuff. And all kind of booths will be set up. And if you'd like to set a booth up, the brochure there is on my website, catfishradio.org. All you have to do is call the church. It's Top Rail Cowboy Church. And just tell them you'd like to be there, and there's no set fee. We ask that if they can, that they leave a donation for the outdoor ministry for the church. They have a great outdoor ministry to bring young people into the hunting and fishing, you know. It's just a lot of fun, and a campfire's going. Shoot the breeze with Mr. Larry and me and David Cotton, Edgar. A lot of our very close friends are out there, aren't they, Larry?
They really are, and I think even Sam Old is coming down.
Yeah, Sam Old from Virginia.
Virginia, who a lot of people know him now through sort of the things that he does on social media regarding wildlife management programs that he's got going on up there. So it's going to be absolutely fantastic. I know Jeff is going to be filming. Of course, a lot of the hunt that I did in England, we'll be able to see, or should be able to see pretty much almost right now. They're on the Sports with Life on Carbon TV or also on our YouTube page as well too. So, you know, invite people to do that. And of course, I've got a bunch of blogs and stuff coming out and stories on that hunt as well too. And interviews while we were in England on my DSC's campfires, my weekly podcast, the personal podcast that I do. So, we'll try to probably interview a few people while we're there at the rendezvous this year as well, too, for that podcast.
You bet. It'll be fun. So, folks, that's the 28th of this month, of March, Top Rail Cowboy Church. And to learn more about it, the easiest way that I know is just go to catfishradio.org, and there's a brochure, you know, there. You can expand the size of that and read everything. But hope they can come out. And I know folks listening to our podcast, Larry, after these awesome radio stations run it, well, there's people listening all over, but if anybody's in North Texas, it'd be a fun week, fun day out there on the 28th, you know?
Oh, man, we'd love to have them come join us around the real campfire this time.
That's right. Well, Larry, I look forward to seeing you out there, and, you know, I know you're rested up from your trip to England, so you'll be ready to kick the coals around the campfire. I know you will.
I cannot wait.
Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Look, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on when that scope is level, because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products, and folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.